Forecast for today, partly to mostly cloudy and windy, with a high only around the mid-60s. A traffic crash along southbound I-94 near Highway K in Racine County before 6 this morning, resulting in some serious injuries and big delays. Part of the median wall damaged by the impact, according to the initial reports. Wind speed keeping Flight for Life grounded at the time, so the rescue squad transport was required on one of the injury victims up to Fraidert Hospital. As you would expect with morning drive, the backups were significant for some time. Both the frontage roads were eventually brought into play. The DOT's operations center listing the scene as being cleared at about 7:45 this morning. Details about the accident are still under investigation. Meanwhile, the Racine County Sheriff's Department's Water Patrol got called into action just before 8 o'clock this morning to deal with a boat that appeared to be making a break for it from Reef Point Marina. Circumstances of how the boat came loose are unknown. The boat reportedly didn't get very far. A third break-in in recent months yesterday at the Manheim-Milwaukee auto auction resulted in the arrest of four teens, the sheriff Christopher Schmaling praising the company for beefing up security measures. Concerned, though, about the ages of the four suspects from Milwaukee County arrested after trying to steal cars. 15 and 16 years old. The sheriff says they named eight others involved in the incident. He wants to know how come they were out at that time of the morning. Where are the parents? Without going into detail, the sheriff did note that Manheim has been working to beef up that security due to some recent break-ins.
I can tell you that they have spent an enormous amount of money and a great deal of time fortifying their fence, taking great steps to secure their property, working very closely with law enforcement. I'm very proud of their efforts. I think they're very proud of their efforts. I spoke with the management there today. They're very happy that we have four of these individuals in custody.
And the sheriff urging the eight suspects who got away just to do the right thing and turn themselves in. A spike in the number of parvovirus cases in dogs turned over to the Wisconsin Humane Society's campus in Racine, apparently prompting dozens of people to go to a vaccination clinic at the Chicory Road site yesterday morning. As many as 80 attended, according to Humane Society spokesperson Angela Speed. In the past week, seven dogs from the community came to the shelter with the parvovirus. Two unfortunately were dead when they arrived at the shelter. Three died despite efforts to save them, and two puppies are receiving treatment. Now, parvo is a preventable illness, according to veterinarian Dr. Nadine Langston at the Racine campus, but it does require several booster vaccinations before the dogs are fully protected. A hearing on the state incentive package for Foxconn before the Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy went well into the night. It included a contingent from Racine and Kenosha counties who had to wait on others to testify. For the first several hours of that hearing, which aired live on Wisconsin Eye, the members of the committee quizzed State Department secretaries on different aspects of the package. And then eventually, last evening, it came time for those who were invited to speak. Caledonia's administrator, Tom Christensen, said that if Foxconn is a game changer for the state, it's a game changer for Racine and Kenosha counties and the entire southeast region.
I believe the incentive package and other legislative changes being considered are appropriate. While they are of a scope to which none of us are accustomed, benchmarking the incentives to job creation and similar factors, the pay-as-you-go, allow the state to be cautious and responsible stewards of the taxpayers' resources. Ladies and gentlemen, close this deal. Make it happen.
Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian asking for an amendment to the bill to allow municipalities affected by the development with the ability to pay for the additional services they'll have, police and fire. That a huge development, he says, will need. Municipalities, according to the mayor, under revenue caps, they have problems otherwise.
For a period of time, I would tell you probably about 17 years, you need to remove the caps on municipal government in these counties. Because the impact is not just going to be in Kenosha County and its workforce, because when we bring new people on, the 13,000 jobs that are created, wages are going to increase. It's going to have an impact on Racine. It's going to have an impact on Kenosha. And you'd have to give local government the ability to maneuver.
Meanwhile, it's still unknown just exactly where the factory is going to be located, but Mark Hogan, executive director of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, said that announcement should be made in the next few weeks. And today, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining several of her Democratic colleagues to introduce the Medicare at 55 Act, providing an option for people ages 55 to 64 to buy into Medicare for the same benefits and protections as an individual enrolled under Parts A, B, and D. Coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, it's the deadline for folks in Kenosha's 8th Aldermanic District to submit a letter of interest in the job vacated this summer by Kevin Matheson, who moved to the village of Summers. As of today, going in, there were three applicants, among them former Alderman Bruce Fox. All candidates by the deadline today will qualify to appear for questions and answers at the Monday night Kenosha Council meeting. Project updates provided to the Racine Redevelopment Authority. That's projects already getting the green light or still in progress. City Development Director Amy Conley reporting a nibble on the Southside Industrial Park, which was a brownfield cleanup years ago. She noted the 615 Marquette Street redevelopment project across from Machinery Row, it does not qualify for state historic tax credits. The Veterans Housing Project for Old Clark Street, the industrial buildings there, that continues to make progress, however.
And they've had their own structural engineer review the project, and Capital Cardinal has engaged with Quorum Architects, who were the original engineer for the Herman and Kittle project, to assist in their plan development. They have also had a lot of engagement with the Center for Veterans Affairs, who has toured the site and is engaged in ensuring the project will result in assistance for veterans. The goal of their team is to submit a low-income housing tax credit application in November of this year.
Ann Conley said the Racine Revitalization Partnership did meet their deadline for home funding. Plus, they secured private funding to renovate 1418 Washington Avenue in Uptown.
So as you remember, we've signed an agreement that they're under due diligence right now to do some minor demolition that will help them refine their project costs. But at this point, it appears that they have private financing in place as well as approval to move forward with some home funding from the city to renovate the top floor and the bottom floor of those buildings. So I'm really happy to report that I think this project has legs and it's going to move forward.
And the council to get an update on the next 4 to 6 weeks on Machinery Row, as well as there was a request for information sent out to a list of hoteliers in reference to the Lakefront Event Center proposal. Events scheduled this weekend in Oak Creek to commemorate the 5-year anniversary of the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin shootings, where 6 people died August the 5th, 2012, that at the hands of a white supremacist. He had opened fire both inside and outside that house of worship. The injured included Police Lieutenant Brian Murphy, who was shot several times and had to retire. The events including a marathon reading of the Sikh Holy Book today through Sunday, and a 6K run-walk tomorrow, that distance honoring the 6 victims. And Sunday afternoon at 1:30, a public memorial. City of Burlington residents affected by recent flooding continuing to deal with their own personal and or business cleanup. Plus, the city itself is trying to get all its operations back to normal with an eye toward the future as well. City's dispatch facility, for instance, was kind of dead in the water, literally 6 feet of it in the basement of the PD building, which led to the Racine County Communications Center taking over. Administrator Karina Walters acknowledging that going forward includes planning for perhaps new infrastructure and locations. She told the council members this week that they're still in temporary solution mode on things like phones and internet, but future decisions will have to be made regarding how to proceed.
We're working with AT&T so that we can utilize fiber, which would allow us to have more telephone lines. We have our internet back up and running. We are in process of working with our IT consultant to identify what are some of the true options for these costs, because we anticipate that the temporary solution that we have up and running, based on conversations that are temporary, could be approximately 60 to 90 days, depending on what the council chooses to kind of move forward with what they want to purchase.
She noted the primary emergency operations center at the PD building became non-functional fairly early, so the upcoming budget review process will include a look at future planning.
One of the items that staff will definitely be bringing forward is kind of a reflection on this past event and talking about where that additional EOC should be. Obviously, if this is our primary EOC and we functioned out of here for a very short amount of time and spent the rest of the time at the fire department, we need to identify the best location and then create that infrastructure and redundancy.
The big discussion after the flood in Burlington, whether to put the city's dispatch facility back in order at possibly $250,000 or consider joining the county's consolidated dispatch operation. More fact-finding required by council members who appeared divided based on committee of the whole discussion. And take note, the city of Kenosha offering an opportunity for residents to shred documents tomorrow free of charge from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. outside the parking lot at the Southwest Library and the Northside Library on 27th Avenue, also outside the Kenosha Regional Airport Terminal Building. City residents can bring up to 5 bags or boxes of items to be shredded by the company called Shred It. Future shredding events will include October the 21st, also at 3 city locations. A couple of white box grant requests to help redevelop the interiors of some older business sites in Racine get the enthusiastic approval from the city's Redevelopment Authority, which is also told the program continues to exceed expectations. The panel hearing about plans to revamp the former Nelson's Variety Store in West Racine into a retail and or restaurant site from Beth Spangenberg. She noted they got two bids on everything, three in some instances. It's turned into, though, a lot of work.
We're going to be opening up the wall into our furniture store, but we're already opened up into Nelson's space upstairs where there's no access, and we've had that for over 55 years. We're keeping the tin ceilings. We are keeping the floors. All the neighbors wanted the squeaky wood floors. So we have somebody that is restoring those, and where needed, we're going to take some of the wood that's in the back area, and then we're going to tile that and make a nice area for our employees.
The other white box grant request from Tessa and Joseph Schulte, the former Henry and Wanda's building on 6th Street downtown, being transformed into a dinner restaurant with a bakery for their catering business, a project also costing a little more than they'd expected.
A narrow entry into the kitchen, we've opened up all those walls in back so that we can just expedite kitchen service a little bit better.
The flow will be a lot better, yeah. Mm-hmm. More manageable for the volume that we expect.
We put a walk-in cooler down in the basement. That has to be all, you know, wired and hooked up. That was part of the electrical quote. But the big piece for us in asking for this grant was the $30,000 worth of electrical work that has to be done in order to bring in the three-phase to run all of our big mixers and rack ovens mm-hmm. for the baking. That was a little bit of a sticker shock.
Both grant requests for up to the $20,000 maximum supported by the RDA, making it unanimous from City Hall. The White Box program, through administrative changes, has been combined now with a facade grant program. There's about $258,000 remaining available this year out of $400,000 to start. Close to $100,000 so far gone to White Box efforts. Modifications and additions made to two Racine area boat launches, now providing accessibility opportunities for boaters who have disabilities requiring launch assistance. An ADA-approved canoe kayak launch was added to the docking area at Pew Recreational Area at 101 Reichert Court. It allows for wheelchair access and space for assisted entry. And ample handicap parking, a fully upgraded dock, and the installation of a chairlift at the Pershing Park boat launch on 6th Street. That now provides wheelchair access and a chance for assisted entry to boaters who want to use sail and or power boats. The chair, by the way, operates on solar power with a battery backup. The president of the Racine County Fair Board is Scott Gunderson. He says 2017 is going to go down as one of the best ever, including a record set in one category. In terms of attendance, Gunderson says the five-day run saw 89,213 people come through the gates officially. That is an increase. Big news, though, the livestock sale. He indicates it set a record total of $592,000, the money going to help the youngsters who raise the animals in the 4-H and FFA programs. And in light of the recent flooding in Burlington, Gunderson notes that about $3,000 was collected to help in that response. Burlington's Little League All-Star team, it won the 8-10-year-old Division State title, a decisive 20-5 win yesterday over Appleton, the game called in the fourth inning of play. To help celebrate and the community maybe take its collective mind off the recent flooding, Mayor Jeannie Hefty has announced both the city and the town fire departments and the Burlington Rescue Squad, on which she still serves, will be giving the players a welcome home at about 6 o'clock tonight with a celebratory escort. The route to be from the Big R Store parking lot on Milwaukee Avenue to Pine Street and then concluding at East Chandler Boulevard. And coming up this weekend, it's the Pike River Rendezvous and its 20th year live at Simmons Island. Highlights to include storytelling, musical entertainment, pirate battles, more than 300 reenactors adding to the atmosphere. Access to Simmons Island is now limited to only non-motorized traffic. You can walk there or you can bike there through the park. A complete schedule of all the activities available at all of the entrances to the venue, plus the Laughing Fox Tavern. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.